We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Dan. Hi, Connor.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
What's up, guys?
Mahadev Sharma.
I get why people would be concerned with this rotation. Look at Cole Hamels, who's compensating for an injury, and he made legitimate changes. The stuff looked like the type of stuff that made Cole Hamels an all-star. He can carry that on for at least another year. And it's similar with John Lester. Look at his second half start. He was figuring out what he needed to do to get hitters out, and it would always look like he was on the verge of disaster and quickly fix it and go 5, 6, 7 strong. Those two guys are the keys to if it's going to be good to great. Outside of that, I trust Kyle Hendricks more than anyone on this rotation. I think he's really strong for Darvish. Health and confidence. How is he mentally handling all the pressure? And then Quintana says his changeup is going to be key for him. He really needs that third pitch to get it through the third time through the order.
Intelligent, in-depth sports talk for your workday.
What they are is they're out there, they're talking, they're yapping, and they're trying their best.
Bernstein and McKnight, middays on The Score.
Bernstein and McKnight broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, home of the Tucson and Santa Fe Sport. Cliff Floyd of MLB Network will join us at 10. Ian Rappaport of NFL Network at 10:40. The midday midway, but just packed with stuff today at 11. We're going to talk some White Sox later on and continue to talk about the biggest story in Chicago sports right now, and that is what we are learning about a brand new television network that is going to televise sports in one way or another. 312-644-6767. That is the number at WSCR. The Score. You email us at Bernstein and McKnight at 670thescore.com. That's where you listen to us live. We stream at 670thescore.com. You want to send a text, you can do that. Text as well. We're always open to that as we head a little closer to the weekend at 67011. When you send something, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter at Bernstein_MCK. He's at C1 McKnight. I am at Dan_Bernstein. Download the radio.com app.
Download
that
it.
Way you can stream The Score on your mobile devices, interact with the show and the station on Facebook by liking the 670 The Score page, and then you can be part of that odd conversation. There is also Facebook Live and watch 670thescore.com if you want to watch us on the video cameras, directed by Brian Gertsch. The producer's Jay Zawaski.
Steve Kerr is going nuts. Oh, he just slammed down the board. He gets a technical. He might get thrown out. He does. Wow. Man, you rarely see Steve Kerr get that hot. He's still going. The All-Star break starts earlier than Steve Kerr was anticipating.
The clipboard spike.
I forgot about that part. There might have been a couple of other words in there, too.
Is that better than the break?
I don't know. I'm going to have to ask Yoder if the clipboard broke when I threw it down. But I got a little anger out, so that was good.
What set him off?
I couldn't really tell. A couple of fouls, I think.
No, it was the, they called a flagrant one on Draymond, and it was not even close to a flagrant. Someone jumped into him, and because the other guy was in the air, they called a flagrant on Draymond.
Okay.
That sounds right.
He's got his guys back. You know?
Steph Curry the entire time is just trying to not smile. You watch him just kind of stalking behind Kerr, and he's just smiling the entire time.
Because it doesn't, that
he's kind of enjoying. He knows what it doesn't matter.
Yeah, and being that angry when it doesn't.
It's Steve.
Yeah. On the board, Rick Camp.
For now, I think, like you, I'll probably from time to time get a glimpse of something on Instagram. But unless there's a Twitter report from WetButt23, I'll probably just stay quiet on it. Took a great deal of self-control not to say the other one.
What was the other one? I can't remember.
Something Katy Perry.
Something about Katy Perry's.
Yeah,
something,
some something. Part of the anatomy of Katy Perry.
Right. That's right. On the air. That's right. That's right. That's right. Wet Butt 23, mm-hmm. The report.
In the back, doing what he does, the executioner, Ray Diaz.
That's disgraceful. The Knicks had a pick before the Bucks, and they could have had Antetokounmpo, but Phil Jackson judged everybody. Are you saying that Phil wasn't there in 2013?
Well, no, Michael.
Forget it. Even if it's not Phil Jackson, we all know how bad he is. Whoever was before him should be ashamed of themselves.
March 18th, he was introduced as the president of the Knicks in 2014.
All right, so he wasn't there for the 2013 draft. Sorry, apologies to him, but not to the Knicks.
Who did they
get? 2013.
I think that was Tim Hardaway Jr. They picked after, so they didn't have a chance to get Giannis. But
they picked later than that? That was the year after the big the wins?
Yeah.
Got it.
Wow.
That was Michael Kay.
So just to recap, everything I've said was horribly inaccurate, and I redact all of the criticism I've pointed toward those specific people.
It happens. I don't know if New York producers are just, they just like to entertain themselves. It's the same thing when Francesa goes down one of those rabbit holes. But
sometimes you got to hang a guy out to dry.
I guess so.
Sometimes you just got to let him go, man.
I mean, if you're going to go that, if you're going to be that, go that hard and be that wrong. Yeah, probably let you go. Just,
oh, this could be entertaining.
Pounding Phil Jackson for not taking Giannis and then realizing it wasn't Phil Jackson and they didn't have a chance to take Giannis.
No, 9 picks later, I think it was, something like that.
This segment's brought to you by the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. Cold and flu season is around the corner, and people with conditions like heart disease, asthma, and cancer are especially at risk. Use the thermometer that you and your family can trust, the Exergen Temporal Scanner. Its accuracy is backed by more than 70 clinical studies. It is the leading thermometer used in hospitals.
Got it. Wow.
Wow. I thought the Crane Kenny interview with Mully and Haw was an interesting one this morning. We are on the precipice of having a brand new sports network here in town, and it sounds like it's, you know, you and I talked about this a lot yesterday and today in the meeting. It sounds like it's going to be a sports network, that it's going to be more than just Cubs baseball, which brings up questions of how Cubs fans want to watch their baseball, how they want it delivered to them, and what else they're interested in. I think we'll get into that after the update.
In terms of the programming on the channel, that'll be exclusively our control. So what our fans see, what the consumers see when they turn the channel on, will be something that the team controls, and it, as it should be, given that we know the fan base and the team better than anyone, and they're comfortable that we'll control that.
That's Crane Kenny, the Cubs president of business operations, talking about the newly created Marquee Sportsnet. And it matters that he called it that. It's not Cubsnet. They could easily just brand it that. But the fact that it is Marquee Sportsnet, the Marquee, I think, is a reference to the Wrigley Field Red Marquee.
I think so.
So you get part of the Wrigley branding that calls to mind the iconic and forward-facing aspect of Wrigley Field. But you're going to see, outside of Cubs coverage, again, the games, the 162 regular season games, and extended pregame and postgame total amounts to 6% of your broadcast time. That's all.
So you're going to need a lot more. You can re-air some games. You can re-air some classic games. But I think the larger thing that they're facing here isn't so much how to fill a broadcast day, because there's ways to do that. There's a whole bunch of shows that you could conscript.
They could also partner with another regional sports provider, like whether it's the Fox RSNs that if Sinclair were to buy some of the Fox RSNs, you immediately can glom on to whatever
some of their programming, some of their content,
college stuff, and minor league stuff, and all that.
But there's a whole bunch of stuff that has changed since the Dodgers signed their giant cable deal. Since you saw all that money forced into major league teams or taken over by major league teams, because the way we're watching anything has changed so drastically over the last 3 or 4 years. They've got to swim upstream against MLB.TV or with MLB.TV, hopefully, and figure out a way to get games to as many consumers as want to watch them on their devices or smart TVs or iPads or phones. You've got to also fight with the fact, or at least somehow smooth over the fact, that the average baseball viewer is like 54 years old.
And is still watching on a tube TV.
Kind of.
A lot of these people are still like, they're still, they go, it's not on channel 9, where is it? And understanding that that's your audience. There's going to be, and they I'm sure they understand this, there are going to be letters to the editor. There are going to be
little
old ladies who are very, very unhappy. This is coming from me. Look, we've got a landline. We've got a dumb TV. I mean, I've got an actual phone that rings, and if it rings, it's either my parents, her parents, or it's a robocall. So we don't really need the landline, but it's there. You know, I consume TV the old way. I pay a monthly fee to get satellite programming.
We had calls into the other station asking where the Cubs games went for years. We had calls coming into this station asking where the White Sox games went for years. I mean, that's just, the habits are ingrained, you know? I mean, just the way you go to watch baseball games or listen to baseball games in those cases, they're ingrained into your everyday. You're going to have plenty of blue hairs on hold with their cable providers yelling and screaming about either A, where do the games go, or B, why do I have to pay another $4.50 a month for Cubs games when I used to get them for free? And it sounds like Crane had some pretty decent answers for that, that the pie is going to be cut up in just a different way, that perhaps it won't be, you know, Netflix raising their prices from $9 to $10 to $11 to $15 and everybody's shrugging along the entire way going, well, I don't know where else I'm going to watch 30 Rock reruns, so I'm here for this now for another $15 a month. But what's going to be at stake, I think, for the Cubs is trying to access all of their fans, trying to get their network and their broadcasts to all of their fans, because they did form a fan base with national broadcasts without any competitors for years, for decades, right? It was the WGN game of the week. That was the only game that you watched, whether you were out in the Midwest, whether you were out on the coast. I mean, that was your game, and you saw the Cubs. But if you're restricted by MLB's blackout restrictions, by their network, you know, maps that they've drawn out, then if you're in Iowa, you've got six baseball teams you can't stream. You've got a defined radius through which you can pump your product, and you've got to figure out, you've got to make sure that you're getting to every Cubs fan you can in order to monetize and make sure that these revenue streams come back to your club too.
Now, let's not forget, before everything does go over the top, you are going to have to be part of some sort of sports package or tier for Dish Network, for DirecTV, for Xfinity, Comcast, and all of the major cable providers. If you're Jerry Reinsdorf, and he's already starting his own aspect with Stadium and reaching out, and Sinclair has a chunk of Stadium too, by the way.
Yes.
It should be noted.
That's right.
And it's also a distribution issue that it wasn't really talked about, but the Stadium channel and all that is done there, there is Sinclair involvement in that. But if you're Reinsdorf and this consortium of Bulls, Sox, Hawks remaining on NBC Sports Chicago, you're fighting tooth and nail to make sure Marquee is not automatically on that sports tier, right?
Yeah.
You want them off of there.
You would want fans to – you would want to force fans into a decision, $5 for the Cubs or whatever it is. You want them to know that this – is the choice they're making, not the choice you're making with everything else.
Right.
When you go from basic to expanded basic to premium, platinum, or whatever, you want to jump into that next tier. You would want, if you're Jerry Reinsdorf's network, to force that Cubs marquee network into the next tier.
Right, saying we're already here, you're getting these other teams, mm-hmm. but you're going to be told that you are paying extra for Cubs baseball rather than just have it subsumed into that tier and pass along whatever the usual rise in fees is without you seeing it. They're going to make sure that you know it. I mean, that certainly would be solid competitive business from his perspective.
Absolutely, and I think solid competitive business on the part of the Cubs to think that their product has more of a demand or enough demand that people will want to watch, that you'll pay that. I wonder, though, you know, as much as there are, you know, the average age of baseball viewers is older than other sports, there are definitely baby boomers and, you know, 60-year-olds or whatever that have gotten into smart televisions and have accessed MLB.TV in ways that younger kids have or what have you. But there's cord cutters to worry about here, too. And in doing this, you've got to have as much broad appeal to as many access points as possible, which needs a whole lot of infrastructure. So one of the questions I'd love to ask the Cubs as they put this network together and get more of the bones, you know, assembled here to build around, is what kind of work is MLB doing with you to create a network like this? Because it's not the same as when the YES Network started. It's not just creating a cable network and then putting it on and going, though that has its problems too. But there's internet infrastructure. There are apps that need to be built. There are streaming caches that need to be put together. There are on-demand products that need to be put together, to say nothing of the actual on-air product, the shows, the Ryan Dempster late-night show that you want to or don't want to watch.
Question for the 815. The Bears can't have their own station because the NFL controls what stations they're on. Why can baseball teams have their own and NBA teams have their own? Because they have local broadcasts.
Yeah, because they're different.
The NFL doesn't have local broadcasts.
It does not.
The only time you see local broadcasts in the NFL is for preseason games. That's the only time.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what's confusing
baseball
about that.
Baseball is a regional sport. Baseball is consumed in very small little subsets of the country. I mean, there aren't a lot of people who are in Chicago and interested in Mets games and only Mets games. That's just not the way baseball works.
He's Connor McKnight. I'm Dan Bernstein. We're diving into figuring out what our sports viewing habits are going to be like and asking you, what do you want for the 94% of remaining marquee sports programming? What's going to interest you? Because you can say, yeah, I got to have my Cubs, and that's the hook, and that's what gets you to pay the extra fee to get it on whatever device you want it. But it's going to be a whole lot more than that that they're going to have to fill out with something. I could do 94% fishing shows.
I want a full hour of Ronnie Cedeno at-bats. Just a full – every single at-bat he ever took as a member of the Cubs, I want an hour from like 3 a.m. to 4 a.m.
You've got WSCR, The Score.
Halloween's a bigger letdown than being a Mets fan.
Opening day, and here's the first pitch, and the season's over.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
That's going to be one of the big challenges for them. There, I would expect that there'll be a lot of secondary, tertiary sports from the area that are going to be part of it. I would expect that you're going to see things, whether it's these names I'm going to throw out or not, I don't know, but shoulder programming for things like Northwestern or like the Bears, who someday you may see the Wolves on here, things like that. You'll see that. You'll probably see some minor league baseball games.
Makes sense. That's Mark Gannis, sports business expert, who was on earlier with Mully and Haw. We can talk about the MLB blackout restrictions in sort of a facile way, but here's the truth in talking to people who really know what's going on. MLB.com, the app, Baseball Advanced Media, however you look at that side of things, the streaming of the games.
The .tv, yeah.
It is revenue sharing. Those dollars are distributed equally among all teams.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the blackout restrictions have to remain. That's why they have to make sure that they're very careful to not have these teams with mass viewership start to cannibalize audience here and begin to choose just their teams rather than have the MLB, the extra innings or whatever it is, whatever that package
is. Yeah,
MLB.TV,
yeah.
It is revenue sharing. It is a primary driver of revenue equality among teams. And once you start polarizing things, once you start allowing the teams with huge viewerships to grab every last set of eyes, then you have what the players don't want. The players don't want most of the money. You're gonna have really, really poor teams.
So change the rules.
How so?
Change the rules of revenue sharing. I mean, at some point here, you've got a whole state of Iowa that can't watch six teams, 20% of your league, streaming. And as we go farther and farther away, further and further away from broadcast television, people will stream stuff. You're just going to be on smart TVs or Apple TV or your phone or whatever. I mean, the blackout restrictions, I mean, I get that it's revenue sharing, and I get that you want to split the pieces of the pie evenly, but it's only revenue sharing the way it's constructed now because that's the way it's constructed now.
Right, but it has
changed the rules.
It's been a sea change. It has been it was immensely beneficial for baseball to do this.
Continue doing it, but change with the times. I mean, you got to adapt or die here. I mean, do you want to – a league can't – die the slow death of network television. That would be, it'd be borderline criminal.
Well, I don't think they are because it's doing spectacularly.
It is now. Yeah, absolutely. Right. It's because MLB Advanced Media has got its tendrils into every app you've downloaded. 80% of them has had some sort of development go through MLB AM. I'm talking about like your Blackjack app and your Solitaire app, all this stuff has had something gone through MLB AM because that's how wide a net they've cast there. It's been brilliant. But if you've watched the NFL stream their games over Twitter, right? Or Yahoo Sports, or, you know, they have their London games on some sort of .ev website or something like that. They're all trying to find the new ways to get their product out there once everyone's cut the cord, because
that's the way. But that's the NFL. That's just NFL. It's not individual markets.
But it's a league that understands that its business model, as it relates to cable television, is going to change, and irreparably. Like, the cords are all going to be cut at some point.
But people in Iowa are free to watch games through MLB.com. They get to watch. Why can't people in Iowa just have their MLB extra innings package?
Because they're black. They can't watch them live. Like, it's the same way that I can't on MLB.tv dial up a Cubs game. I have to watch it on my local cable network.
So you're saying nobody in Iowa can watch an MLB game on MLB.com?
Yeah, Lindholm has chimed in about this all the time.
They don't have a local team there.
They don't. They have maps, the streaming maps that overlap with six different teams: the Cubs, the White Sox, the Brewers, the Twins, the Royals, and Cardinals. So depending on where you live in Iowa, you've got a problem in accessing the content from the Cubs, White Sox, Brewers, Twins, Royals, and Cardinals.
Can't be all of them.
It can, and it is in a lot of cases, that you're unable, depending on where you're. Like, for instance, if you're my brother lived in Minnesota for a long time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And still lives there. Big Cubs fan, only interested in Cubs baseball. He would be one of the cord cutter guys that doesn't have cable, subscribes to Netflix, and would gladly pay the $6 or whatever it's going to cost to get the marquee sports network, because that's all he watches, right?
Okay.
That's the exception. That's a small sect of those who have cut the cord. But when the Cubs go to Minnesota, he can't dial it up on MLB TV. That's blacked out.
When the Cubs go to Minnesota?
Mm-hmm. When they play the Twins.
Okay.
That local blackout restriction covers, because he can't watch local Twins games on MLB.tv. You have to have a cable subscription to do so.
Oh, but that's the Twins broadcast, not the Cubs broadcast.
Mm-hmm. But he loses the ability to watch Cubs games. Like, otherwise, he would stream and watch Cubs games.
Oh, I'm just not sure what you're cannibalizing then. If somebody is going to have to, if you get the marquee, so now he could get the marquee app.
I think so.
If he's considered,
what we don't know is whether this marquee sports network, as it pertains to streaming, would have the same blackout restrictions as MLB.tv does. We don't know that.
This is Rob in Cedar Rapids on the Score.
Yeah, let me clear that up for you, how that works in Iowa, Dan. I have Dish, and then I'll get to my point. There's a certain set of them that are blacked out, and you don't get it. Even if you have the MLB package, you don't get the game. And so my question to the screener, why he put me on, is once I'm paying a fee exclusively for Cubs games, you're telling me this is $10 or $12 or whatever, and it's for Cubs, and then you're not going to let me allow me to watch the Cubs? I smell a class action lawsuit.
Yeah, well, that can't be the case.
I don't think it'll go that far.
But listen, crap the sense. I'm going to sell this to you, but you can't use it.
Yeah,
right, that can't be the case.
They won't do that,
that's,
Rob.
That's just fraud.
They won't do that.
Right.
They'll have to change some of the rules as they pertain to streaming. Or you'll have to get, or Rob, or people in Rob's situation, will have to get the network. And through, I don't know whether it's a smart TV or something like that, you'll essentially be subscribing to a network, not a streaming service.
In Mesa, Arizona, John is on WSCR.
Hi, guys.
Hi, John.
Yeah, so I actually work for Dish Network, and what you guys are talking about with the different regional sports, like probably half of Iowa, you can actually get Cubs games. If you can't get the regional sports because of blackout restrictions, that's where MLB forces you to get the MLB package, whether it's through their app or through your current TV
provider.
That's
what I thought. So you can access it through the MLB package.
Correct. But the only time you can't access a game is if, like Connor was saying, in Chicago, you can't, you know, the Cubs games are blacked out through the MLB app or the baseball package through Direct or Dish or Comcast. If you're out of region, then you're able to see any of those games.
Right. That makes sense. I mean, if you have the MLB package and you are not in that local market, and where they're trying to steer you toward the local broadcast, you can then use it because you've paid for it via MLB.
Yeah, right. And I'm saying that the Marquee Sports Network and others like it have an opportunity here to change the rules of the game if MLB has the stomach for it, that they don't have to or they can charge for a product that will let you watch the games regardless of where you are because you've already paid the fee.
As long as that doesn't interfere with MLB Advanced Media's revenue sharing. That's the thing, because all those revenues are shared equally.
Roll it in.
We're going to talk with Cliff Floyd. Baseball stuff coming your way in a moment on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.